Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Today is our annual flower communion service. If you've brought a plant or a flower that you'd like to share with others, please bring it forward during the prelude, and you can put it on the table here. Our next announcement is from the music department. Please take the time to complete a music survey today. There are blank copies in the back of the sanctuary over by the ushers, and once you've completed your form, there is also a basket there to put the completed form in. And then Robert Ehler has a short announcement for Family Promise.
Take a look at that sheet if you're available. It would be great to have a man and a woman together to do that. But take a look and see if there's a way that you can help to support homeless families in our area. Thank you.
We come in a variety of colors and shapes and sizes. Some of us grow in bunches. Some of us grow alone. Some of us are cupped and shaped inward, and some of us spread ourselves out far and wide. Some of us are old and dried and much tougher than we appear. And some of us are still in the bud. Some of us grow low to the ground, and some of us stretch toward the sun. Some of us feel like weeds most of the time. Some of us carry seeds sometimes. Some of us are prickly sometimes, and some of us smell. And all of us are beautiful. What a bouquet of incredible people we are. So come and let us worship here together. Please take just a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to your neighbor. If you didn't get a chance to bring your flower or plant up during the prelude, go ahead and bring it up. Put it on the table now.
We light this chalice, the symbol of our free church. The church is the vase, it services the soil, and we, like our plants, grow strong here. Please rise in body or spirit and join me in singing our first hymn, number 118, This Little Light of Mine. Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we strive mindfully to surround ourselves with love in everything that we do. My name is Laura Levenhagen, and I am the worship associate for today's service. Our church is a welcoming congregation where we honor, respect, and value diversity and individuality in our members, friends, and visitors. Whether you prefer to be gently seduced by the delicate fragrance of a single red rose, swept away in the heavenly aroma of a room full of deep purple lilacs, or passionately pursued by the spicy smell of green basil, we welcome you. No matter if you are a gardener of exquisite hybrid daylilies, an adventurer in search of the rare and delicate ghost orchid, or a gleeful child rolling in the lawn full of cheerful yellow dandelions, we welcome you. Whatever color, gender, sexual preference, religion, or political view, you are welcome here. And we welcome you to bring your truth intact to this church garden to harmonize, balance, and create a better world. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service. And while you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to everybody joining in. You can check in on the internet and like our webpage. It is lcuuc.org, and that way you can stay current on any activities and information. And at this point in the service, if you'd please take out your cell phones and any other electronics you may have with you and make sure they are on silent mode, we'd appreciate it. So again, thank you for coming. We welcome everybody here this morning, and we are so glad that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us today.
One of the ways that we help to care for our community is by contributing to local food pantries financially and by collecting non-perishable food items that we donate every month. So if you brought food items to share, please bring them forward at this point in the service or ask a child to bring them forward. The basket is up here today to stay out of the way of the flowers. And I invite the children to stay up front and enjoy a story. Carrie, correct me if I'm wrong, the kids are staying in today. So the children are going to be staying in after the story today. They will not be leaving. But as always, the children are always welcome if you need to take a child out. I got to start bringing a chair in here, folks. So today's story is called The Flower Ceremony, A Plain and Simple Beauty, and it's adapted from a story by Janine Grossmeyer from the book Lamp in Every Corner, which is our UU storybook. In a place called Prague in the land of Czechoslovakia in the year 1923, there was a church. Now, I don't know how much you all know about where Czechoslovakia was, but in 1923, World War I had just stopped, and a new country had come into existence in 1918 called Czechoslovakia. So it wasn't good there. There had just been a lot of fighting. A lot of people had got hurt, and they were trying to make things beautiful again. The church they had there in Prague didn't look much like a church. What do you guys think you need to do to have a church? What do you need to have? What makes it a church?
A point at the top.
Point at the top. Good one. A building. Okay. What else you need? Okay. People. Well, that's pretty much what they had. They didn't even have a point on the top. They had four walls, and they had a floor, and the floor was kind of rickety. And they had the most terrible, simple, hardest chairs that you can ever imagine. It was like sitting on a block of wood. How long do you think their church services lasted? So our church service lasts 1 hour and 15 minutes. Their church services could last up to 4 or 5 hours. They didn't have television, and they didn't have radio much. Some people did, but not many. There was no internet, no computers, no video games. Kids didn't have very many toys, so what you did on Sunday was you went to church all morning, and you sat till your butt got numb. Well, that meant a minister couldn't be boring, or what would happen? Everybody'd fall sound asleep on those rock-hard chairs. So this church had no bells, no pointy bits on the roof, no stained glass windows, no organ, no piano. It had no candles. There was no chalice. Nothing. It was just a big box with these hard chairs. It had a door, but it was very plain and simple. But the church had a lot of people who came every Sunday, and the minister's name was Norbert Chapek. And Norbert had been a minister at the plain and simple church for 2 years, and every Sunday he went and he talked, and everyone sat very quietly on the hard chairs, and when he was done, they'd all talk for a few minutes and then they'd go home. There was no coffee hour. There was no juice or donuts. So when springtime came that year and Norbert went out for a walk and the rain had come and the birds were all chirping and the flowers were starting to bloom, and even though they had just finished a war, it was beautiful. And then he thought of a plain and simple idea for the people and the children at his church. And the next Sunday, he went house to house before church. And he said to everybody, "Hey, I've got an idea. Bring one flower or one plant each. Bring one flower. If you don't have a flower, bring a pretty branch. If you don't have a pretty branch, bring a twig. Just something, something pretty that you liked." So on the next Sunday, which was the first day of summer, everybody came with flowers. Everybody's were different. There were no two matching flowers. Some had pink and yellow and red. Some had just light green leaves. Some didn't really get the idea, so they brought sticks. That was okay. The sticks looked good. And all of a sudden, the church was filled with all these pretty colors, and it wasn't just plain and simple anymore. And Norbert spoke to all these people while they listened, sitting there quietly, still on the hard chairs, and he said, "Look, these flowers, these plants represent us. You brought what you thought was perfect to bring. So for each one of us, our plant represents who we are and the fact that we chose to be here. They're all different colors, different shapes. Some are a little dirty. Some smell good. Some don't. Some taste good. Some you can cook with. Some grow really fast and get really tall. Some are little and squinchy. They're us. Each one is beautiful. Each one is important." And when he was done, everybody talked for a little bit, and then they each took a flower that wasn't the one they brought to remind them that it didn't matter. We all brought one. We're all part of this. And whichever one I take is somebody else that's part of my family here at the church. It was our first communion ritual. And it was as beautiful and plain and simple as that church. And we've kept it all these years. So whenever you see flower communion, that's where this comes from, this little bitty plain church that didn't even have the pointy bits on the roof. But they created flower communion. So thank you all for listening to my story today, and you'll have a chance to pick a flower in just a little bit to take home with you. And so I'm going to ask you if you would just go back to your seats. An old woman lived alone in Milwaukee, and she wanted to plant her annual flower garden, which was dear to her heart, but it was very hard work, and the ground was really stony. Her only son, Vincent, who used to help her, was in prison, and she wrote him a letter and described her predicament. She said, "Dear Vince, I'm really sad because it looks like I won't be able to plant flowers this year. I'm getting too old to be digging up the plot. I know if you were here, my troubles would be over. I know you'd be happy to dig it for me like in the old days. I miss you. Love, Mom." A few days later, she got a letter back. It said, "Dear Mom, please, please don't dig up the garden. That's where I buried the bodies. Love, Vinny." At 4 a.m. the next morning, FBI agents in black vans and the local police arrived, and they dug up the entire area, looking over every inch. They broke up the dirt, and they searched 6 inches deep, and they probed. They couldn't find anything, and they apologized and left. The next day, the old woman received another letter from her son. "Dear Ma, go ahead and plant those flowers. This was the best I could do under the circumstances." Love, Vinny. No matter how your garden was created, we welcome all flowers here. The morning offering will now be given and received. Our thanks for these gifts given and received for the life and the work of our community. This is the time in our service where we share together our joys and our concerns. Before the service, you're always welcome to quietly light a candle for yourself at the table here. But during the service, we speak aloud and we light candles together. Would anyone who has a joy or concern to share please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
I have two joys. My father, my 88-year-old father with dementia, just completed one of those honor flights for veterans in Washington, D.C. this past week. Our whole family is very grateful for that. I'm also grateful I'm switching jobs to one of the public Montessori schools in Milwaukee for next school year.
Well, my name's Lynn. I have a joy and concern. My niece, Sakandra, got married, and we were able to join her in D.C. And a joy for technology. The groom lived in Paris, and he's a Syrian Muslim, and was not able to get a visa to come here for his wedding, even though they had planned it 6 or 8 months ago. So anyway, we had him there virtually. That was a joy for technology. He was on the big screen with us.
I'm Patty, and please light a candle of joy for the birth of my new baby grandson last week, Lennon Michael.
I have a joy that schools out in 6.5 days.
I have a joy. Today is my daughter Claudia's birthday, 14 years old.
I'm Amy, a candle of joy hearing Gus's voice in our congregation today.
Diane.
I have a joy that we have a swimming pool in our new house.
I have a joy that my brother got married 2 weeks ago.
Hi, I'm Angel. I have a couple joys. One, in 2 weeks, I'll be getting married in a small private ceremony by Amy. And the other joy is I got my engagement ring on my broken finger.
And we light our last. You got one more? Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Pam. I have a joy that our 18-year-old nephew, we were told several years ago, would not likely live to graduate from high school, graduated from high school yesterday.
And we light our last candle today for all of those joys and all of those sorrows that we hold deeply, but which we have not spoken here today.
Our first reading is Flower Communion Meditation by Lynn Ungar. What a gathering! The purple tongues of iris, licking out at the spikes of lupine, the orange crepe skirts of poppies lifting over buttercup and daisy. Who can be grim in the face of such abundance? There is nothing to compare, no need for beauty to compete. The voluptuous rhododendron and the plain grass are equally filled with themselves, equally declare the miracles of color and form. This is what community looks like, this vibrant jostle stem by stem, declaring the marvelous joining. This is the face of communion, the incarnation once more gracefully resurrected from winter. Hold these things together in your sight, purple, crimson, magenta, and blue. You will be feasting on this long after the flowers are gone. Here ends the first reading.
Within our hands, we hold the resurrection of the world. Transient and imperfect, these plants and blossoms are still gifts of infinite value, like ourselves. How often, too often, we seek permanence and perfection, resisting change, blind to our own shortcomings, we become caught up in the petty issues and routine activities of our daily lives. But may these flowers serve as a reminder, as they allow themselves to open to the heavens, for despite their imperfections, they still have integrity. And though they are transient, they contain the seeds of transcendence, like ourselves. Let us then also open ourselves to mystery and wonder, fretting not about small mishaps or even for now great misfortune. For the resurrection of the world is at our fingertips. The resurrection lies within us. Let us keep together a moment of silent appreciation. Please join me in meditation or the spirit of prayer.
Our second reading is Flower Communion Meditation by Elizabeth M. Strong. Enter into the communion of flowers. Enter with joyful hearts. Enter with reverent thoughts. It has taken long months beneath cold ground for these flowers to prepare their blossoming. It has taken each of us long times of growth through sorrow and joy to prepare for our living now. The blooming season is short, The flowers stay only a short time. We are travelers upon the earth, travelers through all too brief lifetimes. Therefore, let our moments be bountiful. Let us rejoice in our unique colors, our aromas and sounds. Let us celebrate together in love, that as we travel away, we take with us the memory of golden hours together among the flowers. Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing number 1064 in the teal book, Blue Boat Home.
In October of 1918, the country we knew for years as Czechoslovakia came into existence. World War I had just ended, the war to end all wars. Europe had been bombed flat, beaten up, blown up. Men had died. And countries all across the continent were trying to recreate themselves after the havoc of war. Norbert Čapek was a Czechoslovak Unitarian pastor. and his people were hurt and struggling. Religion had gotten tangled up with fascism, communism during the war. And what had been safe and welcoming and comforting rituals were no longer welcomed by many people. Communion, as many Christian churches practiced it, no longer meant everyone coming together in community, because during the war, Catholics, Protestants, atheists, free thinkers, communists, fascists had all collided in a terrible ball. He had to find something new, something different, a way for his people to come together in community that didn't hurt any of them. This wasn't an easy thing to create. He sat down at his desk and his first thought was, I will rewrite the Christian communion service. I'll make it ours. He wrote and he wrote and he wrote and he threw paper away and he wrote. I'm quite sure he cussed a lot and wrote some more. Didn't work. There was no way to reshape the liberal theology that Unitarians in Czechoslovakia held and make that ritual welcoming for them. But on June 4th of 1923, he finally had it. After blood and sweat and tears, he had written something he called a flower celebration. He asked his members to do something simple because they were tired of complex. War is complex. They needed something simple, meaningful, deep. Flowers were beloved in Czechoslovakia as a symbol of natural beauty. And no one argued with that. No one would be hurt by flowers. So he asked that each church member bring a flower which they had personally chosen, and he had them put them in one large vase, each one bringing their own flower forward. And he told them, this vase is our church. And when you put your flower in, you are showing your desire to join freely with others of like mind in community. In his words, for us in our Unitarian Brotherhood, the vase is our church organization. We need it. We need it to help us share the beauties and the responsibilities of communal life. In the proper community, by giving the best that is in us for the common good, we grow up and are able to do what no single person can. Each of us needs to receive in order to grow up, but each of us needs to give away something for the same reason. The original service was long. They sang and they prayed together. And they blessed the flowers they had brought, and they read a verse from the Bible. And at the end of the service, they each took home any flower except the one they had brought. And Čapek said to take each one just as it comes, without making any distinction where it came from or who it represents, as a public confession that you accept each other as brothers and sisters, without regard to class or race or other distinction, acknowledging everyone as our friend who is a human and who wants to be good. Simple, beautiful. But think about the time. Think about what was growing on the horizon. Adding your flower to that vase and taking another was a declaration of value and belief in a country only a few years old, where religious and political powers were still shifting and uncertain, and where Trinitarian Christianity was in strong opposition to some of this. This wasn't a cute ritual. This wasn't a meaningless ritual. It was a risky public faith statement. This was their equivalent to putting a banner in the front yard that said Black Lives Matter. This was their equivalent to flying a rainbow flag. This was them being at the courthouse. People saw them. Can you imagine in your head going to church that morning, Catholics, Lutherans, and here you are and you're walking with your flower, and there are other people walking with theirs. That first year, no one really knew what it meant, but by the second year, people did. You were making a public declaration, these things I believe. Chapik said this because their religion was different. It was different from ours to an extent. He said, what kind of religion is this Unitarianism? It is humanity lightened by divinity. It is humanism and theism combined. It is not the kind of humanism without God and without soul, but the humanism of those great ones who from time to time call our nation to a new life. When Jan Hus appealed to reason and conscience against the authority of the Pope, it was the work of humanity. When Comenius conceived school as a workshop of humanity, it was the continuation. I specially quote, man finds himself best in his own innermost, nowhere else, for then in himself he finds God and all. What else is it but to begin with humanity seeking the divine? The opinion that religion is outgrown can only be held about a religion that was not human enough, that remained under the level of humanity or remained, so to say, hanging up in the sky, up with the divine, and could not answer the needs of humanity in their daily life. When worshiping the liturgical Christ, people could not hear the human Jesus who asked for love to humans. Unitarianism is the religion of humanity in the best sense of the word. It has rejected the inhuman and barbaric conception of God, and by this brought God nearer to human understanding. It has established a more intimate relation to Jesus by emphasizing the value and sovereignty of mankind. Today, it looks as if mankind was on the crossroad, not knowing in which direction to move, and our age calls for watchmen who could stand on that crossroad and warn people not to go back to barbarism and bestiality, but to go from views only earthly and selfish to cosmic views, from humanity to what makes us divine. Today we come together and we don't bring cut flowers, but living plants. Each plant a small piece of its giver. No plant labeled by who brought it. Each plant a living reminder that you come here freely, choosing, as Chapik and his congregation did, a free church, a church that gives you no easy answers, a church that calls you to grow together in community, always searching. We live in a country changing and reshaping itself day by day. We live at a time and in a place where it matters that we are here. It matters that we be seen carrying our plant to church. It is no small thing to dare to bring your true self to a community and know that you will be loved. You bring your flower or your plant and you make a statement, I believe these things I hold. Humans have worth. Democracy has value. Justice and equity and compassion are essential. Accepting one another has meaning. We have the right to a free and responsible search for truth. The world needs to be based on peace and liberty and justice, and we are connected to everything around us. You say these things when you hold your plant in your hand and you bring it forward. Who knew that something in half a milk bucket could bring such meaning? But it does. No one made you come. You brought a plant. You brought yourself freely to this vase. This vase that holds those seven principles. No one holds you here. You choose to stand for these things just as Chapik and his congregation stood in the chaos of a reforming Europe. You stand in a country often torn and weighted down with uncertainty, financial crisis, and violence. But you are not alone. You didn't just bring a plant. There's a plant for you to take home again. You are not alone. Others are here. And just as you risk bringing your whole self, others are taking that same risk. Standing beside you, to walk with you, to laugh with you and cry with you, to hold you and bloom with you, to stand beside you and say to you over and over and over again, as many times as you need it, me too, you're not alone, I'm here, me too. Chapik spent a year in Dresden prison before being sent to Dachau, where he met his death. He wrote this in Dresden in 1942. In the depths of my soul, there where lies the source of strength, where the divine and the human meet, there, quiet your mind, quiet, quiet. Outside, let lightning rain, horrible darkness frighten the world, but from the depths of your own soul, from that silence will rise again God's flower. Return to yourself, rest in yourself, live in the depths of your soul, where the divine and the human meet. Tune your heart to the eternal. And in the depths of your own soul, your panting quiets down. Where the divine and human meet, there is your refuge. He told his congregation they were flowers in the church of vase. I tell you now, that you are living, growing vines and branches, blooming flowers, savory herbs. May this church always be your garden, and may you bloom together in good and bad, sorrow and laughter, pain and joy. Here is your refuge. Here is where the divine and the human meet. Here is your garden. Please join me now in a spirit of prayer. In the words of Dr. Chapik, let us bless these flowers and plants. Infinite Spirit of life, we ask thy blessing on these, thy messengers of fellowship and love. May they remind us amid diversities of knowledge and gifts to be one in desire and affection and devotion to the divine. May they also remind us of the value of comradeship, of doing and sharing alike. May we cherish friendship as one of the most precious gifts. May we not let awareness of another's talents discourage us or sully our relationship, but may we realize that whatever we can do, great or small, the efforts of all of us are needed in this work, in this world. It is time now for us to share in communion with one another, and I ask that as I call you forward, I'll call you by sections, approach the tables and do so with thought. Do so with a sense of how important it is for us to face our world and one another with honor and gentleness, justice and love. Select a flower or plant different from the one you brought that appeals to you. And as you take it, take the time to see it. See its shape, see its beauty. Handle it carefully and with joy. It is a gift that someone has brought just to you. That person's unique being, it deserves your kindest touch. So let us now share together in our Unitarian Universalist Communion. If I could have this section come forward first and get your flower and just return to your seats. This whole section, please. Please feel free to come forward, whether or not you brought flowers. We have plenty of extras. Please feel free to come on forward. And if I could have the middle section, please come forward. And if the final side would go ahead and come forward, please. Thank you. the name of Providence, which implants in the seed the future of the tree, and in the hearts of humanity the longing for people to hold dear. In the name of the highest spirit of life in whom we move and who makes family of us all. In the names of the sages and great religious leaders who sacrificed their lives to hasten the coming of peace and justice. Let us renew our resolution to live and work and play and worship together, regardless of any kind of bar which estranges us one from another. In this holy resolution, may we be strengthened, knowing that we are indeed one people, united by the spirit of love, and trying ever more for a better and more joyful life together. Amen.
May the fire of our faith never diminish, and may we bloom together now and in time to come.
Please remain seated right now, and if I could direct your attention to the video.
and the words are written in your program, but they actually wrote too many words in there. So when you look for which words to sing, you want to look for the verse. That's the only part you're in charge of, and we'll repeat it a lot of times. Just watch me.
Draw the circle, draw the circle wide. Draw the circle, draw the circle wide. No one stands alone, we'll stand side by side. Draw the circle, draw the circle wide.
Our circle never ends. Go in love and bloom in the soil of this community and draw your circle wide. Peace, and may it be so. I love this service.
Yeah.